Hi, I'm Jude. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so excited to be bringing this message tonight. For those of you who haven't been for a little while, just to set you up to know what we're doing, we're in a series called Discovering the Sacred, hence we're discovering with our little lanterns. Tonight I've got the fun of talking about naturalists and sensates, which is it's based on a book that we've been talking about. So we did activists and caregivers, we did test, what were the others? Traditionalists and, Enthusiasts. Yes, I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm loving this one because naturalists and sensates, it's like, yes, connecting with God through the senses, all about going deeper into love with Jesus. And that's my prayer for us tonight, that as we explore these simple little ideas, that they'll produce godly fruit among us. So, hey, have you ever tried to do something that you're not really into because somebody you love is really into it? Yeah. So I am the least sporty person in the entire world. And when I was dating Dave, I really loved Dave. And he was playing an indoor cricket team. And he sort of thought it would be fun for me to join his mixed indoor cricket team. And I loved him so much. And we were dating. And you know, you do things when you're dating that you present your best self. Anyway. I tried to play indoor cricket and I tried to enjoy indoor cricket, but I didn't try very hard and I didn't try for very long. We did one season and I considered that, you know, a success. It's very different though. You take me to IKEA, you take me to the homeware store, you take me to the art store. Yes! And I'm just, I've got everything. It's firing and I can spend all day and now Dave has to come with me and yeah, anyway, but that sense of, it's kind of like when you find that right fit, it's instead of trying to force yourself to do something that's not really your bag, it's like the ugly sisters trying to force themselves into Cinderella's shoe. Compared to that feeling when you're doing the thing that you're made for, it's like, I was made for this. And that's my heart for us in prayer, in our time with God, that some of us are doing things that work really well for other people, but they may be a heavy burden for us. They may be trying to shove our feet into someone else's shoes. We want to go with the Spirit and speak freedom and life to love and enjoy God in ways that are right for each one of us. You know, I don't understand the mystery of how we gradually grow to be more like Christ, but I do know that spending time with Jesus is part of it. And I know that a basic principle of motivation is that we as human beings do more of what we love. So I thought, let's put those two things together. So if we do more of what we love and we start to love and enjoy spending time with Jesus even more, what will we find ourselves doing? Doing more of it. And the more time we spend with Jesus, that change happens. And I think that's basically it. I think if you want to do one thing in your life as a Christian, love and enjoy spending time with Jesus. Because when you do that, he takes care of the rest. It's just what happens when we're with him. So when I was studying psychology, I love the idea of what motivates us. And, you know, the science behind this, God has hardwired us to be human beings who do more of things that have a reward. So anything that has positive reinforcement, we do more of what we love. And so that can apply to our spiritual lives as well. It doesn't matter the psychology and the reward mechanisms and dopamine and neural pathways in our brain. What matters to remember, we do more of what we love. So what if we're not really enjoying what we're doing when we're spending time with God? What impact does that have on us? What impact does it have on our prayer life, on our sense of connection with God, in our growth and transformation as followers of Jesus? And this isn't only for us, but it impacts what we bring to the world around us. So I wonder, what would it take to change? Would you be interested in exploring that? So maybe your current ways of meeting with God are satisfying. And I go, yay, yes, I'm so glad. Possibly trying some new ways and adding to them, it could be even more satisfying. So I hope in this to rekindle that sense of love for Jesus. So if you want to look up a Bible verse, you can turn to Psalm 27 on your phones. Or has anybody brought a paper Bible, a real book to church? Hallelujah, I love real books. Guess what? I love things I can hold and touch and that work for me reliably. Not anyway, shout out to the Bible people as well as the IT people. Anyway, Psalm 27:4, she said, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" Check this out over here. The closer, and this verse, you can't read it from there, but it's the same verse, Psalm 27:8. Lisa and the kids at Big Day Out had this just, 4 weeks ago, the verse on her heart of closer, drawn into God, and it's been on my heart for the same amount of time. And don't you love that, when the Spirit of God talks to the same people in the same ways? So, do you hear David's delight and enjoyment in it? Can you hear that rising up through this passage? He prioritizes God, he chooses the one thing we were at. It was Steve and Grace's wedding, and the thing, "I choose you above all others." Is that how they said it? I thought it was the most beautiful thing, because normally we have forsaking all others. I choose you above all others, and I thought that's what this is. My one thing I desire, I choose you, God, above all others. And I hope that we've known something of that delight and enjoyment and freedom at some stage in our relationship with God. Because we know it's not all ponies and ice cream as Christians. It's just not. It's not how it's meant to be either. That's not realistic and it's not healthy. But, you know, it's hard sometimes when prayer is a bit, you know. Can you remember a time when your heart would respond similarly to David? When you read those words, "Come and talk with me," when you hear me saying this, what do you feel inside? What do you experience? What do you think about that? And when you imagine yourself, what do you imagine doing in response to God's invitation? Where are you spending that time with God? Is there one place? Are there lots of places? It's natural that different seasons of our life impact how we connect with God. We go through times of grief, significant change. You were talking before about when exam pressure and assessment hits, we feel squashed. That's okay, they're the rhythms of life. But we have work pressure, we have family crisis and illness. Just life, it impacts us. And it impacts our availability for God and enjoyment of God and our satisfaction in how we're connecting. So when they're just little bumps, little incidences, we can weather that. But if this becomes our pattern where it's dry, that's what we want to change. What if by learning some new ways of praying that better suit our current stage and better reflect the people we actually are now, not who we used to be, our love and enjoyment of God could be rekindled? Because we do more of what we love. And when we love spending time with Jesus, we do it more. And when we spend time with Jesus, we're changed. I love gathering with you. I love worshipping and praying and opening the word together. Yet sometimes I find myself sitting here and my heart kind of aches. And I think, there's got to be more than this. Do you ever feel that too? I'm sure I'm not the only one. And if you do, like me, feel that too, I want to affirm that because I believe it's a holy longing. Being moved in worship, being inspired and comforted in prayer, being expanded in our love through God is brilliant, but a church service is not enough. As good as it is, as wonderful it is to gather in this place and other places, it's not enough because it was never designed to be so. It's not meant to be our only spiritual meal for the week. And if you are here tonight with your spiritual well running dry, feeling hungry and thirsty, I bless that in the name of Jesus. And we go to the Beatitudes and we say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." So sit with that discomfort and own it and be real about what's going on. It's okay. It's good. Holy longings for God, for Jesus. But, and this is the other part, what if there's another way? What if instead of a whole lot of us coming to church hungry with our spiritual wells running dry, we came here after a week of feasting? What if we came here after a week full of loving and enjoying God because we're just doing what we love to do? What would be different here? if that were the case, if every one of us turned up fed, full and overflowing with the love of God. What impact do you think that would have on our services? What impact would that have on our Monday mornings in the places where God scatters us to go and live as kingdom bearers? How about our homes, our family life, the households we live in, if we were all overflowing with living water from spending time with Jesus? That's what I think it means to see kingdom come among us. How would it impact our neighbourhoods? Can you imagine? And you know the best part, not the best part, but one of the best parts that I love about this, it's not for people who have perfect lives with no problems and no stress and no competing priorities, no stress, no relationship challenges. Because when we talk about living water, we go to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, an outcast with relationship problems galore. But Jesus offers her, he offers living water in that messy, mixed up lives. And I just say thank you, God, for that, because we need his grace, don't we? In our messy, mixed up lives, we need to know living water is available for us. So there's two options we want to talk about tonight for increasing our love and enjoyment of God. These, if you haven't been here, they're based on Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Pathways. So to be clear, a sacred pathway is just a made-up thing. It just describes different ways people try and connect with God. It's 9 types. It's not, none of us fit into these neat little boxes. That's not how it is. We don't want to be reductionist or limiting people. It's just about having a shared language for different ways of connecting, and it's meant to be stirring us up to want to connect more. So that's all that's about. So over here, I've got the stuff. And this was so much fun. I so enjoyed this. So we've got the space, right? So here we've got little leaves and a dog lead because my dog is a naturalist. She insists that we get outdoors. We've got stuff from the beach and gum leaves. And this morning you could smell them. I don't know if you could smell them, but the place over at the G, it smelt of eucalyptus. Feathers, butterflies, little things that grow. And here, somebody I know, me, is like a bower bird, and I just have to collect stuff because I love things that I can hold and touch and remember. So this is a holding cross, and sometimes I just need to hold this cross when I pray, that sense of just, yeah, making faith tangible. And this, so for some of us, we collect things that speak to us. And basically, I think to be a sensate means to take spiritual truths and make them tangible in a way that helps it to. Some of us just need to do that. I don't know why, just how we're made. Anyway, we've got these two, right? So you don't have to choose. But as I'm talking about this, if you could only have one end, which end would you want? The nature end, is that more you? Do you go, yeah, I need to be in nature. I've got to be around the stuff, the ocean, the smell of the waves, the beachy stuff. Am I the arty person? Do I collect the stuff that reminds me? Do I journal? Do I draw? Do I respond to God in that way? That's pretty much a summary of what we're doing. So just think about you. And, you know, there's a whole lot of other pathways. And, you know, which one? Closer. They relate really. What we found this morning was they're very hard to differentiate because they're both connecting with God physically. Something about being in nature. We move our bodies and we see God, and, well, we see nature, which reminds us of God. But yeah, they're both connecting with God in our senses. Both of these pathways have biblical examples. So when I think of a naturalist, the first person that comes to mind, King David in Psalm 23. So he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name." Something I love here, the Hebrew word for shepherd is also the word for best friend. So we could read this again, and we could read it, "The Lord is my shepherd and best friend." What an image of intimacy with God that David experiences outdoors, in nature, in the everyday stuff of his life. When he says, "I have all that I need," he expresses his sense of well-being and gratitude from his experiences of being cared for by this loving God who listens and spends time with him. He lets me rest and he leads me. reflects David's sense of peace and security from knowing he's provided for and accompanied in his journey through life. So all of this can happen for a person as they connect in nature. A bit that I love here, he says, he restores my soul. It actually means something more like causes my soul to return. So you know the sense of stuff we talked about before, when life starts to squash us a bit, we start to feel a bit disconnected from our soul. And that sense, it drains away from us. So time in nature, really connecting with God as that best friend time, can be so restorative. So I'd encourage you to be thinking about your opportunities to get outdoors in nature, perhaps with fresh eyes. Maybe it's more than going for a walk or sitting outside having a coffee at morning tea in the sun. Maybe it could be more an opportunity for God to restore your soul. For the naturalist, nature is more than a nice walk, but it becomes an oasis or a chapel, a place of prayer and intimacy. I love it in the Message. It says, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. So it shows that sense of recentering that naturalists experience from time with God and in nature. Naturalists need to leave the building, no matter how beautiful or simple it is, and they need to get themselves near the sea, near the sky, in the wind. And they may learn more from watching an ant colony, from listening to a sermon. So if you're a naturalist, I probably could have saved myself a lot of work and you just could have sat here watching the ants and I could have sat down and watched them with you. Proverbs 6:6, consider the ant and be wise. So, you know, see what they've got to say. Matthew 6:28, Jesus says, consider the lilies and know God is caring for you. It's you ponder, you meditate, you think deeply about these things. So naturalists, they help us remember the beauty, constancy and extravagance of God and bring a sense of awe in the full scope of God's creation. So how could you maybe have a go at this? Well, it's not rocket science, but I remember a time when you've taken your Bible outside. Have you ever done that? I haven't done it for a long time. And I thought, why did I forget about that? Take your Bible outside and read it in the air and see the difference. Get up to worship and pray at sunrise. Make space to go to a special spot and see a sunset. Go for a prayer walk. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do a prayer walk, for that matter. You can actually review your day with Jesus as you're walking. You can be, hey, Jesus, what did you see and what did you notice and where were you moving? And you can listen and do it that way. You can simply do it in silence if you've got no words left. Just walk and say, Jesus, would you come on this walk with me? I just need your company right now, because that's what best friends sometimes do, don't they? Sometimes you talk and you nut it all out. Sometimes you're just in company. You could walk and bless the places that you go. You could say, Jesus, where are you moving here? And you could listen and you could speak blessing and life into those places and neighbourhoods and buildings and businesses. I have a friend who, because we've got to fit this into our lives, don't we? We're busy people. So think about your time and how you could do what you're doing just a little bit differently. I've got a friend who just decided to leave work earlier and she goes and parks down by Yarramundi Reach and spends time near the water. She takes a Bible, she takes a journal, just does it on the way to work. And she said the difference it makes, seeing fog and mist in winter. So we're going to have a little listen now. Nidra, one of our elders, she's got some really great stuff to say about what it's like for her connecting as a naturalist. So let's check that out.
I'm Nidra. Well, I picked a naturalist pathway. So that's when you connect to God, when you're out in his creation. And I've always really enjoyed being outside, walking with God and talking to him. But the particular time I was thinking of is when I was down the coast and we were on holiday and we were out in the rainforest, and my husband is a photographer. So when we go walking, it's more like a stroll and a stop and a stroll. So I thought, okay, I won't waste the time and get frustrated. I'll spend it talking to God and reflecting on a passage of scripture. So I was just standing in the rainforest and I was thinking about an issue I'd been wrestling with, which was that my life was feeling very compartmentalised and that there were parts of it that I didn't feel really connected with God, and I found that very frustrating and concerning. So I was looking around at this beautiful rainforest, and they had strangler figs and vines going up and down, and the thought suddenly came to me that everything is interconnected in this little microcosm. And it was like God was saying, actually, your life is far more connected than you realise. It feels like it's in compartments, but actually, you just don't see the way I do, that everything is all related. And he brought to mind this verse, which was from Colossians, the first chapter, where it talks about Christ holding everything together. And I thought, yeah, that's it. And it was like this moment of crystallisation. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. I can remember that even now, years later. I think the first tip is just being open to the possibility. So that when you're out in nature, expecting God will connect with you, and even asking He will. So sometimes when I'm out, I might say to God, well, what do you want to tell me today? What do you want to say? And then wait and listen. So that's the first thing. The other is just noticing what grabs your attention when you're out. So you may be out just in the garden or walking, and then something you really notice that you haven't for a while, like the sunshine, or the other day I was out at Tibbin Villa and I was noticing the reflections in the water, and that got me thinking about how we're in the image of God. And but I had to think, why is God drawing my attention to this particular thing? What is He trying to say? And then I guess the other tip is filling yourself with scripture that relates to nature, because the word is full of different images of from God's world that He shows us things. So the gospel is full of it, the psalms are full of it, and the prophets also draw from nature. So the more we have that in us, the more God can use that to speak to us.
What great tips. Thank you for sharing that, Nidra. It's a real blessing to us. I love that, particularly when you're saying to really be open, to not just be there in nature, but to be there open to what God's saying and to notice. Thank you. So we're going to flip now and think about sensates. And an example of this, when we were looking through scripture, there's a bunch of examples we could find, but I think in Ezekiel's self-titled book, he epitomises that full body, five senses, sensory overload of encountering God as a sensate, where a little bit more isn't enough. There's never too much to the sensate. There's just never enough ways that we can symbolise and try to express what these spiritual truths are. So it's a long and bizarre passage with there's creatures with eyes and wheels within wheels and people on fire. It's all over the place. But basically Ezekiel feels a wind. He sees flashing lightning. There's a throne of blue gemstones. There's winged creatures with multiple sets of wings. He actually says and there's these wheels, and he says the wheels of the rim were tall and frightening, and they were covered with eyes all around. It sounds quite over the top. And then he sees, he hears the sound of wings like rushing waters. He tastes a scroll, and he gets to the end, and he says, this is what the glory of God looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down to the ground. And it goes on, God says more. It's a sense of it's all so much in a good way. It's so much that it's like, ah. So he falls down and needs a rest after it. And that's quite a worship experience, I would say, if we were leaving here with that. But it's the sense that sensates come alive when their senses are engaged with the awe and beauty and splendor of God. So incense, things we can smell, intricate visuals, sweeping music, something to touch or handle, and powerful language send our hearts soaring. Some Christians might find this just too much. It might be distracting. Others delight in it. I know when Dave and I were travelling, we were in Italy and we were looking in cathedrals and art galleries, and I go into a gold-covered medieval cathedral that is... Every possible thing is smothered in pictures of Bible pictures and saints and angels, and the ones I love most are when there's this dome and Christ is the pinnacle of all creation, and I'm weeping because it moves me so much and I feel drawn into the presence of God. My lovely Dave, after probably five or six of these, he was climbing a bell tower to see how many stairs he could get up as fast as he could to get a look out over the town. So we're hardwired differently. And it's funny, I know some people find that kind of cathedral thing, like, and I'm just, yes, just, it interests me, it fascinates me. If you think about the temple, when people were worshipping the temple, you would smell the temple before you would get near it because it smelled like a barbecue. This constant sense of animals being sacrificed. There was special fragrant oil that priests would wear for anointing. There was the sounds and smells and whatever. So I think we've somehow got this weird idea that God is not a sensual God, that faith is not meant to be touch and feel, but it's all of us. Jesus says to love God with our heart, soul, mind and strength, a full and embodied experience. You think of communion, the tearing of bread and the smell of bread, there's bitter herbs that people ate. And one of the things, I just love the way God hardwires us to be able to remember. Did you know our sense of smell is linked with a system in our brain? So the sense of smell is linked to memory. So, you know, the nostalgic smell of, starts to smell like Christmas. Does anybody know what I mean? When it smells like Christmas and you get, oh, I remember when I was a kid and Christmas and it's the best. There's this sense that when we connect with God in our senses, we can use the way he's hardwired our bodies to associate being with God with a smell. How weird. But, you know, you can light a candle, you can have reed sticks, you could have a special smell in your prayer place, and when you go there, it opens you up immediately to being with God. Did you know that? It's weird, but it's true. Trust me, it's true. And the sense of remembering. So, and sensates love to respond to God as well as to listen to God. So often they create art or collect things. As I said, it acts as a physical reminder of a spiritual truth. So sensates keep us in touch with our whole person by reminding us that connecting with God is an embodied experience as well as something we do with our thoughts and emotions. They bring richness and texture to our community with their creative and playful responses to God. We've had a lot of that here. What do we call it? It was a tent of meeting that we set up with, the meeting place. Yeah, it was beautiful. So that sense of these responses to make it a spiritual reality come true, for be expressed to us. So how could you have a go at this if it's something you'd like to try? Well, one thing I thought, if you could maybe get some new music and have what's called a soaking time, where you just cut out all other sensation and you focus on that. Maybe have, and you could try something different, like what about Handel's Messiah? That's this classical piece, and have it so loud that you can feel it vibrating inside of you. Or pick something totally different, but focus on your senses and allow yourself to connect with God in a different way. Create a worship space for yourself. It could be a shoebox where you just collect weird little things that mean something to you, that each time you open it, you're reminded. Get things that smell good, that make you relax and enjoy being with God. Get a pocket piece or a cross. Make art. What we're going to do now is listen to Lisa, our kids pastor, and she's going to talk about what it's like for her connecting with God in this way.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm the kids pastor here, and I love all our congregations across Paige and Mitchell. And I just wanted to share a little experience about just encountering God through the senses, so through the sense of sight and sound and touch, particularly for me. I think I'm a little bit of a combo of a naturalist and a sensate. So my experience is that there was one weekend I headed down the coast after being super stressed, just to have some time out, and it was time that I'd set aside to be with God, and just felt really called to do a whole bunch of silly, playful things. So, you know, I went for a jog, and I, hung out on the beach and picked up shells, and it was just sort of just touching shells and feeling the warmth of the sun, just all reminded me that things about God, about how he's created us and how he's always with us, and the warmth of the sun is like the warmth of his love, and just the intricacy of what he's made as well. It was a really special time, and just felt God calling me into a way of being playful, and that's okay. I've got two top tips for encountering God through your senses, and that is to not be distracted and to not be in a hurry. And they're the two things that always catch us out Just to slow down and be present in the moment, because we're always absorbing stuff through our senses, but it's whether we take the time to notice what we're doing.
Cool. What were those two things that she said? Slow down and pay attention. Yeah, good tips. And who knows what you discover with God when you do that. So why does this matter? Why are we talking about this? Well, I think to be changed by Jesus, to live and love as true disciples, to be kingdom carriers, to be people of the good news, we've got to be shaped and changed by Jesus. And we do more of what we love. And when we love spending time with Jesus, we do it more. And when we spend time with Jesus, we change. I want us to love and enjoy spending time with God. I want us to know that freedom and joy of that. So if spending time in nature or picking up a paintbrush helps us to do that, then I think it sounds like a pretty good thing. Because we gradually change, we become a little bit more like Jesus, and when we do that, we more accurately reflect him to the world. This is about us, and it's also about showing the face of God to the world. And I want to say, if you're finding it hard, if you're bored spending time with God, it's okay. You're not the only one. We all go through seasons of that, but God has more for you. It doesn't have to be like this. God created us for so much more. And I want to be clear, when I'm talking about loving and enjoying God, I'm talking about what is like our core body temperature and a general thing, because it's right that we go through seasons. The Spirit of God leads us in times of consolation and desolation. For our growth, we can be led into the desert like Jesus was. There are hard places that the Spirit leads us. So I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about a deep enjoyment where we find that right fit in God. You're understanding the difference that I'm talking about, but it's important, because we need to stop confusing being happy with the work of God, because God brings us a deep joy and a satisfaction of knowing him that is something far more solid. So when we love and enjoy God as our best friend, it's deeper than happiness. So that means that when we experience heartbreak, disappointment, and blah days, we share that with God. Because like David, we say, the Lord is my shepherd and best friend. So it's about intimacy and knowing that we share all of it with Jesus. You know, God desires you, waits for you, wants to spend time with you, and wants you to enjoy that time. Jesus chose the disciples by inviting them to be with him, and he still chooses and invites us. Jesus chose the Samaritan woman at the well and offered her living water that would satisfy, and he offers that the same to us. In John 4:10, he says, "If you only knew the gift of God that has the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring, bubbling up within them, giving them eternal life." Man, I want to drink from that living water every day. So whether it's through these pathways or others, what the psalmist speaks of can be our experience too. That the one thing we'll ask of the Lord, the thing we'll delight, we'll want most, is to be with him, delighting in who he is every day. And when we hear him say, "Come and talk to me," our hearts will be soft and open, and we'll eagerly respond, "Lord, I'm coming." So if this is something you would like, what are some ways you could make this possible? We've heard from Neidra and Lisa. I've given you a bunch of ideas. But I want you to think about this for yourselves. What could you do so that if you walk or jog, people jog, I hear that's a thing, it could become a sacred space as you walk around your neighbourhood and talk with Jesus about what you see and feel? What would you need to rearrange in order to spend an hour or so by the lake, up a mountain, or by a river, leaving space for the Spirit to reveal God's truth to you in fresh ways that feed your soul? What impact would it have on your prayer life if you were to make a sacred space in your home where you could put objects and little things that you collect that mean something to you? So this is what I want you to do. If you're feeling hungry and empty as a Christian, I want you to face and listen to those holy longings. Listen to your rumbling, empty spiritual bellies. Let them speak and talk to Jesus about it. Listen to what he has to say to you. If he tells you to do something new, try it. It's okay to be soul hungry. Jesus made us that way so that we rely on him and we depend on him for our bread of life. And if you're hurting or you're sick or you're grieving right now, I want you to know that God's with you in that hard place. I'm not going to ask you to do anything different than simply tell Jesus how much you need him, how much it hurts, and do your best to trust him. I ask that God's grace meets you in that hard place, and that what you receive of his mercy just in itself takes you deeper into love for Jesus. And if you're a busy student or worker and you're missing soul-feeding time with God, I just want you to talk with him about it. Tell him you miss him and ask him how you can connect in new ways as life is now, as it's actually happening now and what's going on for you. Do whatever you need to do to change this, to just be ways to open your heart to him. And also be patient, because it takes a while for these things to shift sometimes. We come to him again and again and ask to be satisfied. So if life's got the better of you with study or work pressures or too much change and you've realised your enjoyment of Jesus has slipped, just take some time now to honestly talk with Jesus about it and ask him how you could love and enjoy him more. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless our spiritual hunger and thirst. For those of us who say there's got to be more than this, we pray that you will hear us saying, yes, there is. I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. Lord, we want to leave space here to listen to what you're saying to each of us in each of our circumstances. Lord, how we thank you that you choose us, that you seek us out, that you say, come and speak with me. Oh, Lord, how we pray that you stir up holy longings inside of us. Move freely among us, Jesus. Inspire fresh love for you, fresh hope. Awaken us to all that the Spirit has for us, we pray. Amen.